Take your books, please. Turn to hymn number 290. 290. Please stand.
This morning to worship Christ as we normally do, but we will do so in memorial of our brother Chad Adams that God was pleased to take home to be with Christ. I want to also thank Pam for doing it this way so that all of us could be here together on Sunday. Most of us don't have to work on the weekends, and of course thank God that Megan was able to be here too. So Pam, thank you for doing that. Most people, you know, the Scripture doesn't give us any set way that we are to do funerals, and weddings, and those kinds of things. And some traditions are okay. Nothing wrong with some of those things that we do. But it's not as though we have to follow them by the letter of some tradition. Paul, now would you come up and read?
You can be turning to Romans 8 and verse 28. Chad Edward Adams, 50, of Browns Road, Kellysville, passed away Saturday, June 23rd, 2018, at Princeton Community Hospital. Born April 6, 1968, he was the son of the late Paul T. and Pearlie May Bird Adams. Chad was a former service manager for Douglas Sporting Goods in Princeton, and later was forced to retire from ABB in Bland, Virginia, due to his health. He was a member of Sovereign Grace Chapel and a graduate of Oakville High School, class of 1987. Survivors include his wife, Pamela Pendleton Adams of the home, two daughters, Kristen Justice and husband Calvin of Kellysville, Megan Cooper and husband Anthony of Princeton, two granddaughters, Lillian Justice and Zoe Cooper, sisters Deza Brown, Sue Jones and husband Don, both of Oakville, and Florence Dooley of Roanoke, Virginia, brothers Steve Adams and wife Sandra of Oakville, Tommy Adams and wife Doris of Princeton, Rad Adams and wife Frances of Princeton. Romans 8:28. I'm going to read three verses. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. David, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this day, thanking you for your abundant grace and mercy. Asking, Lord, that you be pleased to have your presence be with us this morning. Be with Joe and Walter, Lord, as they prepare to speak, preach the gospel to us, Lord. Give us ears and to hear this message, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, give us grace to believe this gospel. Mm-hmm. Give us grace to bow to your will in all things, Lord. Take away the cares of this world and the thoughts that consume us on a daily basis, Lord. Give us grace that our hearts and minds are truly on things above. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us what things are worth asking for in this world. And Lord, give us grace to bow when you answer our prayer, how you see fit. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've given us. Thank you for these, my brethren. Be with all your messengers, Lord, as they meet in this place today and all over the world, Lord. Give them an unction, Lord, to truly preach Christ. And may we hear Christ this morning, Lord. May we not hear from men, but we hear from the God, from God himself, the word and truth. Lord, may we bow to it. Thank you, Father, for all things that you've given us. Amen.
Just wanted to mention to everyone that Paul made some CDs. There's a message here by Henry Mahan, The Missing Note in Present Day Preaching. And it is an excellent message. So I would encourage you that, you know, if you need a CD copy, there's several right there. Pam has asked to say something. So, Pam, you go ahead.
Morning. I'll say it. I'm glad to be here. Walter called me and let me know about Chad. It's like I'm glad and I'm sad at the same time. And Pam, you're very welcome, and we wish it could have been more. But glad for Chad and sad for us. Because he's the one that reaps the benefits from this. We get to see God's hand in it. and God's glory. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm not going to preach on that. So, if you would, if you don't mind, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to try and be very short here for me. But I think there's something here we need to hear and I need to say. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 of the book of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Well, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And that's Jesus Christ, and that's His voice, the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We are here remembering our brother Chad Adams. And we are here, as Walter said, to worship the God that I think Chad believed. Because I believe Chad was faithful to Jesus Christ, and I know he was faithful to this assembly. And I want to preach the truth of God in Jesus Christ, just like I did however many weeks it was, for how many years it was, that Chad was here. So today I want to speak about faith and believing. Because these are two inextricably, totally linked things. And they are separate things, faith and believing. But they are completely and utterly tied together. There is no possible way to separate faith from believing. And there is no way in this world to believe without the faith of God's elect. They are different. There's different as the source and the result. But they are tied together. Because there's no possible way to separate believing from faith. And there's no possible way to separate grace from faith and believing. Many may try. But you don't believe to get eternal life. You do not believe to get grace. It takes the grace of God that you believe His Son. Because faith is the gracious gift of God. And by His faith, we believe. So what is faith? Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I am not going to get in depth or theological here, but I do want to say this. Faith is the substance and the evidence of things that are hoped for and of things that are not seen. What do I want to say here? I cannot prove faith or believing to the world. It's not possible because the evidence of it, the proof of it, is faith. Right. You understand? No one without faith is going to understand anything I would say about faith. Right. It's like trying to describe colors to a blind person. It doesn't work. There's no way to make it work. Because there are things hoped for, and there are things not seen. What's that mean? You've got to have eyes to see. You've got to have ears to hear. And you have to have a brain, heart, to understand. No one without faith will believe what I say about faith and believing, even though they say they believe the Bible. So what does the Bible have to say? Verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And the Him meaning God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, what's that mean? Very simply, first thing, it means that you can't believe who you don't know.
Right.
How are you going to hear? Well, you'll hear it. That's from a preacher. You'll hear the gospel. But why does Paul write here that it's impossible to please God without faith? Well, that's because it is. Simple reason. Because have you ever stopped to consider these words? What Paul is actually saying here, he is truly saying that man must believe. And it's impossible to believe without the faith given by Jesus Christ.
Right.
You understand? You don't believe. All men have not faith. I say that for the broadcast if we do it. All men have not faith. Paul's quite clear about that. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you must believe. And you can't believe without faith. Jesus told us the exact same thing. You don't have to turn there, but John 8:24 said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For, why? For, if you believe not that I am. Now it does say he there, but that's interpolated, so I'm going to leave that. If you believe not that I am, if you believe not that I'm God, you shall die in your sins. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because you must believe Him. Him. Because that's not all Paul's writing here in verse 6. Because he's also truly telling us this. Unless God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, you will never believe Jesus Christ. Because believing Jesus Christ, and here's the thing the world doesn't understand by any shape of the imagination, and they don't want, and they won't like, and they won't have it. It takes the power of God to believe God. It's not in man to believe Jesus Christ to the saving of the soul. Because if He doesn't work in you, if He does not give you life and faith, you will never believe. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. It's His gift. Unless God gives you faith, you will never believe. And you must believe that Jesus is He. That Jesus is the great I Am. That Jesus is Yahweh. God. Manifest in the flesh. Lived on this planet. Died a substitutionary sacrifice. Resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting His enemies to be put under His feet. Because the one who came, who was born, He was born King and is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We believe and know and preach that we are saved by grace, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Because we preach, Jesus Christ saves. He's not attempting to save. He's not making it possible that some be saved. And He's not making it available, salvation available. because he is the Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? He saved, he saves, and he shall continue to bring his people in. And Paul was clear about this even before that verse about by grace through faith. You look at Ephesians 1 and 19, you don't have to look now. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It takes the exceeding greatness of his mighty power to believe Christ. He said that before, by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Why? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And let me tell you, folks, believing Jesus Christ is a good work. It's a good work of God. Or it's not a good work at all. Because without faith, his faith, believing is impossible. But here's the point I wanted to get to. These all died in faith. This is verse 13 of Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is the summation for me of this whole chapter of Hebrews 11. It's right in the middle. There's still more to come after it, but this is the summation for me. This is what people call the heroes of faith, and I understand why they say it. The list in here is glorious. But this is the summation that Paul used to tell us what to make of the life of the saints of God. This is it. These all died in faith. In faith. And what's he say? Believing. What? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They died in faith, believing the promises of God. You know, forget about everything else. Forget about everything else. When it comes to this, and this chapter, there's some great people here. There's some people that God used greatly. Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah. How's Paul sum it up? These all died in faith. Because I can tell you this, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you haven't done. Here's what matters. These all died in faith. And I'm not denigrating and I'm not putting down anything these people did. By the power of God. They did some great and glorious things. But that's not what it's important when it comes down to dying. The source of these things that they did is Jesus Christ and his faith that he gave them. He gave it to his saints. I believe that Chad believed God. Yeah. And I can't say anything better of a person than that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, we're not heroes of faith. Those that have gone on, Daryl McClung, Union Earl, Chase Smith, now Chad. I can remember where they used to sit. And they're not there anymore. And it gets you sometimes. Jesus Christ said, He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But those people I just named, Daryl and Uni, Earl, J. Smith, Chad, they're not here anymore. Well, here's the thing. You'll die here. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You understand? This life here, physical life, is not all we have. By God's glorious grace, it is not. Chad was not a hero of faith. A good husband, father, grandfather, brother, yes. But he didn't move mountains. He wasn't translated like Enoch. He didn't build an ark. He didn't deliver Israel from Egypt. He didn't subdue kingdoms, stop the mouths of lions, or turn to flight the armies of the aliens. However, I can tell you this, I believe with every fiber of my being, that the world was not worthy of Chad Adams. Look at verse 38 of Hebrews 11. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And we didn't have to do that. We will if we have to, but we don't have to by God's grace. But still, here's the thing. These all died in faith. And I believe Chad Adams died in faith. And that means the world was not worthy of that man. Now, he would have told you himself if he was here that it wasn't in him. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Because he, Christ, is the one who chose us and brought us out of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And Chad was in it, but he wasn't of it. And therefore, the world was not worthy of that man. Verse 39, and these all, and I include in this every saint, believer, that ever died to this day. These all, having obtained a good report through faith. Through faith. They were believers. They were believers. Receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These all died in faith. That is a good report. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. These all died in faith.
Let's all stand and sing number 108, please.
180. Please stand.
Should buffet the God's control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. But the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well
with my soul.
I want to read one verse from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 1. Luke began by writing these words, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of," now listen to these words, "those things which are most surely believed among us." My brother, Chad Adams, and I say that in the present tense. He didn't used to be my brother. He is my brother.
Amen.
My brother, Chad Adams, was no religious zealot. There are a lot of religious zealots.
Yeah.
And as Joe Abley pointed out, it's not religious zeal, even if it's good religious zeal, that counts. It is believing God.
Right. Amen.
It's not just believing in God, though believing in God we do.
Yes, sir.
But it is believing God.
Amen.
Nor was Chad. Chad was not an adherent to free willism. And free willism so dominates our society.
Yeah.
And it's a shame.
Yes, sir.
And it's a sham.
Yes.
Chad Adams did not promote himself. Chad Adams did not promote any religious decision or aisle walking, though he had done both. Yet God called him out of that.
Yes, sir.
And called him to bow at the feet of Christ the Lord. Thousands are walking aisles. Many will probably do it even today and make decisions. And we'll still hear one day, sadly, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity.
Exactly.
I never knew you."
Amen.
Now I know this. If Chad Adams was in Christ, when his soul left his body, he seen Christ with his eyes in person.
Yes,
and that's what Bruce Crabtree meant when he said, "I envy Chad." Mm-hmm. Not the suffering. Not all that he went through. Not that horrible last day. But that. To open up your eyes and see him there in the flesh. Jesus of Nazareth, God's Christ. And to hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. And then maybe, I can't prove this. This is just my emotion. But then just maybe, Chad looks and there's Earl Cochran. And Earl said, you made it, brother. Huh? Just maybe. Come over and give him a big hug. It's done with. The battle's over. This is what it's all about. Chad's religion was not to be seen of men.
Amen. That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ said about this, those who do what they do, no matter how good it might seem, if they do it to be seen of men, they have their reward.
Amen.
That's all they get. They got what they wanted. That's all they get.
Amen.
Chad's faith was about a person. The things which are most surely believed among us, if you read Luke, it's all about a person.
Amen.
What we believe is summarized in who we believe.
Amen.
Christ's person and Christ's work are the things which are most surely believed among us. Chad's faith was about a person. What Chad believed is encapsulated in the proclamation of the person and work, singular, that primary work that he accomplished on Calvary's tree. What Chad believed is encapsulated in the proclamation and the person and work of Jesus Christ the Lord. Chad believed this, that God the Creator was made flesh.
Amen.
That's what he believed. Amen. If he was a believer, he believed this.
Yes, sir.
It's not because he had to go around telling everybody this all the time. But he believed this.
Amen.
God called Chad out of religion. I believe it began in Providence. Simply because others he knew and one he was married to and she being knowing others had to leave out of religion because of God's power. But later, that message got a hold of him. It got a hold of him. And he believed it. Not with fanfare. Not with, hey, look at me. It's look at Christ.
Amen.
Secondly, Chad believed this, that God, that God who was made flesh, is God indeed.
Yes.
Not just in name.
That's right.
You see, God is God. That means he controls everything in any part of the universe, whether it be a speck of dust that floats at this moment in this building, or whether it be a far distant galaxy spinning out in space. God Almighty controls, ordained, and purposed it all. Chad, like me, was no theologian. But God taught Chad.
That's it.
God taught Chad. And that's what Christ said God would do for all his people. And they shall all be taught of God. Isn't that what it said? And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father. What do they do? Come, they come to Christ.
Amen.
They come to Christ. God taught Chad that Jesus Christ the Lord is the only man who can lay hold of a corrupt sinner and not be defiled in doing so.
Yeah.
And to lay hold of the thrice holy God and not be consumed.
Amen.
And to bring those two totally diametrically opposed persons.
Yes, sir.
A sinner and a holy God. Mm-hmm. And he could bring those two together in himself.
Amen.
In himself. Christ is how a holy, thrice holy. Where the angels, remember there's this group of angels. All they do is fly around the throne crying. That's all they do. Holy, 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 holy. Mason, they're doing it right now today. Holy, holy, holy. Christ is the only way that this thrice holy God can be just and justify such sinners as we are.
Amen.
Chad believed that. Chad believed that. Chad believed that God must judge and condemn sin. And He'll either do it in me or He'll do it in a substitute.
That's right.
And that substitute was Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
He believed that God saves sinners.
Yes, sir.
And only sinners.
Yeah.
God never saved. God's never saved not one good person.
Nope, that's right.
Not one. Not one. Chad believed this. It's not about articulating it all well. I understand I don't even always articulate it all well. And I've been doing this publicly for 30-some years. But Chad believed this. Every sinner for whom Christ died, they were, when He died, reconciled.
Amen.
They were, when He died, justified by His blood.
Amen.
They were, when He died, sanctified and perfected. Then, forever.
Amen.
And that was Chad's hope. Not just that he had this experience of God calling him out of false religion into the worship of Christ, but his hope, if he had any hope, and if I have any hope, is in that man that died 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Whom God raised from that day from the dead, and He ascended, and now sits at the right hand of God Almighty.
Right.
Amen. Chad believed this. Every such sinner will be called by the gospel to bow in submission to Christ. Not make a decision about Jesus, but to bow in submission to Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
Actually, I guess Chad was a theologian after all,
right,
wasn't he? Huh?
Yeah.
I guess he was a theologian after all. Amen. Not in the technical sense of one. Theology simply means the study of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't find God by study.
Exactly.
Here's what our Lord Jesus Christ said about the matter. I'll read it, make a couple comments. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power, that is authority and might, both. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give, just give,
yes,
eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. If Chad had eternal life, it's because God just gave it to him.
Amen.
He gave it to him. Well, what do you got to do to get it? You can't get it. It has to be given.
Amen.
That's it. It has to be given.
Exactly.
Well, that leaves it in God's hands. You're finally coming around as you're seeing that.
Amen.
That leaves it in God's hands. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. You don't know God and then get eternal life. God gives eternal life that you might know. What? The only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent.
Amen.
Chad knew that. That's all the theology you need.
Amen.
That's all the theology you need. And you don't get that by study. You get that because God says life.
Amen.
Life. And He sends His gospel to you and you'll hear it and you won't be able to help but believe it.
Amen.
Believe it. And Chad knew by experience. I'm sure he did, although we never spoke about it. Chad knew this by experience because I know every true believer does. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
Let us rejoice in this.
Yes, sir.
Let us rejoice in this. A few days before God snatched Chad out of this world, we sang a song to Chad. He was in pain. He was hurting like he'd been doing for a long time. And we sang this song. afterward, and he wasn't able to speak a whole lot. And of course, he was in and out in the medication. He said, "That's a good song." He said, "I like that song." Something along that line, didn't he, Pam? So let's, in closing, sing this song. Let's sing it to the honor of our Lord. And let's sing it in remembrance of Chad. And remember, one of these days, folks, our Lord's coming back. And if it's while we're still living, Chad, all those people you mentioned, they're going to be right there with Christ.
Yes, sir.
They're going to be right there with Christ. All right, let's stand and sing number 99. Number 99.
God be with you till we meet again. I, His counsel, guide uphold you. His sheet securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Deep His wings protect thee, hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put His arms unfailing round you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet. At Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep the banner floating for you. Smite death's threatening ways before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet.